pray a blessing upon this place. Father, we just brought the transfer of spirits. And I want to kick it up a notch tonight. I'm still talking about the transfer of spirits. I want you to turn your Bible to Daniel chapter 10. But I want to talk about the transfer of spirits from the ruler spirits to a people. Not just a transfer of an individual spirit to another individual, but the ruler spirit that's over a principality, a ruler spirit that's over a city, over a nation, how that spirit is transferred to the people. The title of what we're talking about is the transfer of spirits by ruler spirits. Again, I want to immediately take it out of the spooky spiritual, put it in a place that we can easily grasp it and understand what we're saying, and then apply it to our lives. Daniel chapter 10, verse 10 through 14. We've read it before, preached from it not too long ago on activating angels. I'm going to preach again tonight and use it as our home text, as our starting point. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I am about to tell you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the very first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. What I want to point out here is that there is a prince of Persia over the kingdom of Persia. Now, the kingdom of Persia was Nebuchadnezzar. The kingdom of Persia was the ruling kingdom of this time. This prince of Persia was an angelic force, an angelic ruler. I won't use the word angelic. I'll use the word demonic, okay? Because I don't want us to get our thoughts messed up. He was a demonic ruler that was over the area. He was the ruler spirit of the area. And as Daniel prayed and sought God for an answer, then as the answer was sent of God, then this prince of Persia, this ruler spirit, fought with that angel bringing the answer to Daniel, and the warfare was going on in heaven. But what I'm capitalizing on is letting us see that there is the prince of Persia, there was the prince, the power of the air, there was this ruler spirit that was in the principalities. This prince of Persia was the ruling demonic spirit. Now, what I want us to see here is that this spirit that was ruling this area transferred itself onto the men in that area. He transferred himself onto Nebuchadnezzar, and he transferred himself onto Nebuchadnezzar's people. They were a very dominating people. They came against Israel. They captured Israel. They captured the whole world. So it was a dominating spirit. It was a demonic, dominating spirit. It was a cruel spirit. It was a spirit that inflicted much cruelty. You remember in the first part of Daniel here, Daniel's parents were killed because of this principality and this spirit that was on Nebuchadnezzar and that army. And it was a cruel spirit, and they inflicted much cruelty in their warfare. And then thirdly, it was a warring spirit. It was a demonic warring spirit. It was a demonic warring spirit that came to inflict cruelty and to inflict dominion. And this was transferred upon Nebuchadnezzar and upon his kingdom and upon his people. They became just like that spirit. Now, that's what I'm wanting us to see, and I'm going to emphasize this and stay here. And it won't be hard to see that this is exactly what happened. But it transferred itself upon those people, and they became dominant and cruel, and they became warring. Now, what we got to see, and we've got to understand, that there are ruling spirits over our area. And I don't care what city you're from. you're from Tryon or Rome or Somerville or from Lafayette or wherever that you're from, you need to understand and settle it in you that there is a ruler spirit over that area. And it might sound hokey pokey and it might sound spooky, but it won't by the time you leave here. You just hang in here with me. But there are ruler spirits over countries. There's ruler spirits over cities. And these spirits affect the character of the people that live in those cities, that live in those countries, and that live in those places. Now, you'll see that it's true as I talk here. Look with me the book of Genesis chapter 18, and let's see if what I'm saying to you is true. I don't think we have a lot of trouble with it, but I want to bring it into another dimension because I really want to talk about the transfer of that spirit upon us. I want us to understand that the spirit that's over this area tries to transfer his character upon us, or its character. We'll just do it this way. Genesis chapter 18, one of the basic thoughts here, there's two. The angels come and God with them and visit Abraham. And then they have had a meal together, a covenantal meal. And then as they leave, beginning at verse 20, the Lord here is speaking to Abraham and he says, "The Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me, and if not, I will know." Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom while Abraham was still standing before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, "Wilt thou indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked?" That's a good question, isn't it? Will God judge the righteous with the wicked? And you know the story, and there's no need in reading this entire passage. And Abraham says, "If there are 50 righteous there, will you not spare the city?" And he says, "Yeah, I'll spare it." And Abraham goes to 45. And the Lord says, "Yeah, I'll spare it for 45. If there's 40, will you spare it?" And he says, "I'll spare it for 40, for 30, for 20, and finally to 10, for 10. And the settling figure was 10. If there was 10 righteous people in Sodom, then God would not destroy the city. Now, you know what happened is God went, could not find the 10 righteous, and what did he do? He destroyed Sodom. Now, what I want us to see by what I'm bringing here is that there was a Sodomite spirit over Sodom. There was a homosexual spirit over Sodom, and it had so greatly influenced that city that there was not even 10 righteous people there. That spirit, that ruler spirit, had so influenced Sodom that there was not 10 righteous people there, and God had to judge it. You can tell a city and the ruler spirit over that city by the character of the people. Now, if I say, I wanted you to tell me the best that you could, what ruler spirit was over Los Angeles, California, what would you say? What? Rebellious. Okay. How about San Francisco? Okay. Because their character, you see, has taken on. How about Hollywood? Glamour. False glamour. Right. Las Vegas, Nevada. Gambling, you see. Promiscuity. Prostitution. And the ruler spirits gets over an area and then begins to influence that area greatly. We could look at New York. We could look at Atlanta. And we could see that there are spirits over, ruler spirits over those cities, those metroplexes. There are ruler cities that of murder and robbery and theft and cruelty and bloodshed. You see there, you can see the character of a city, and you know the ruler spirit that's over it. Now this isn't hokey pokey, is it? It's just as simple as your child playing with somebody that's got a bad spirit and that spirit gets on them. Just as simple as we talked about this morning, you can look at a city and you can tell what ruler spirit is over there. Now, It may not be identified immediately to you, and you may not know how to exactly war with that spirit, but the people will begin to take on the character of that ruler spirit. Just as Assyria or Persia took on the character of that ruler spirit, the prince of Persia, just as the Sodomites took over the character of that spirit, so then do people in every city begin to take on the character of that ruler spirit because there is a transference of spirit. That ruler spirit transfers itself upon the people. Now, this is why the people of God need to be wise and need to understand these things. We need to understand that there is a ruler spirit over our area that wants to change us like Him. It's in direct contrast of what the Lord Jesus wants to do in our life, which is what? Change us to His image. Now, if we'll understand that and get out of a hokey-pokey world, and we'll understand that this is really going on, that this is as real as I'm standing here talking to you, it's as real as you're sitting there in those seats, it's as real as it can be. There are ruler spirits over every city that are assigned to the city. Now, if we can grasp that thought, we can just move right along. And I believe I've hit it, and I believe that's enough on it. Now, I want to give us a New Testament example and look through some scriptures in our Bible. Look with me in Acts chapter 19, and we'll see here Paul warring with a ruler spirit and how it happened and what he did. And Monty, maybe you and Lance can bring my board over here. I'm going to be ready for it in just a little while. Acts 19. I want to give you, at the closing of this thing, I want to give you seven needs. At least there are seven needs to bring down these ruler spirits, and I want to list them. And the reason I want to list them is because at the end I want to pray a prayer that will directly touch each one of these seven things that I'm going to list here. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 8, and I'm not going to read all of this. I hope and trust that you're familiar with this passage enough that we won't have to do that. Now, let's start with verse 8. Paul has come back to Ephesus, and he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months. And I want you to notice that there are several time periods through here. This is 3 months. He spoke in the synagogue for 3 months, reasoning, and the King James Bible says disputing, and persuading them about the kingdom of God. What was his message? Kingdom of God. And that's nothing new in our church, okay? We understand that the kingdom of God is what we're supposed to preach. That's the emphasis, which will cover the entire spectrum and and teach everything that Jesus taught and what the apostles taught. That's what the kingdom of God is the lordship of Jesus Christ. So he taught the kingdom of God in verse 9. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this took place for 2 years. Notice the time, Pat, here. 3 months, and now there's 2 years. So that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. 2 years. And it's important that we notice this, that there just aren't any quickies. That you don't bring down powers and these ruler spirits overnight. We've got to understand that it's going to take a plan, just like everything else. It takes a plan. And in verse 9, we talked about there are some hardened. We've got to always understand that there's always going to be hardening to the Word of God. Some people just are not going to receive it. We can't expect that everybody's going to receive everything that we're trying to move into. There's going to be some hardening. Then drop down to verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus and I know about Paul, but who are you? And you know the story here. The sons of Sceva were trying to cast out devils. And here comes one, and he rents them and tears them all up and does harm to them and runs them out. But right here he's speaking. He says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Now, what I want to draw from this is I really believe, and it's because of what I know about the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3, I really believe, and I'm going to probably read it in just a few minutes, but I really believe that there is a specific church that has a specific angel that gets a specific revelation from God, and that particular man is known by the demons. That particular church is known by the demons. Now, that's what I believe. You don't have to believe that if you don't want to. But I really believe that God wants to raise up a work that the demons of hell know is there. A people that the demons recognize and know they have the authority. Now, we'll talk about that just a little bit more, but I wanted to touch it. They recognized Paul. They knew who Paul was. They didn't know all these other preachers. They didn't know all these other demon cast outers, but they knew who Paul was. And that's not trying to bring more glory to one individual than another individual. What I'm trying to say is I believe there is a group of people in every city that is of God, and that they have an anointing and they have an ability. They have an angel of God over that church, and that church will get the revelation from God. It'll get the revelation from Jesus Christ, and they'll go about doing great exploits. Now, that's what I believe. You don't have to believe me if you don't want to. You don't have to believe that if you don't want to. But that's what I believe. All right, then, look at verse 20. So the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. Now, what had happened up to this point is they had done some special miracles. They had prayed over some handkerchiefs. They had cast out some devils. They had done some mighty miracles. And the word of God, and it comes to the point, so that the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. And now Paul sends away in 21 and 22, he sends away some of his men, and then 23. And about that time, there arose no small disturbance concerning the way. Now, what I want to link here is about that time, no small disturbance arose. I want to link that with verse 20, where the word of God grew and prevailed. I really don't believe that the demons worry about any church, anywhere, any place, until the word of God grows and prevails. Until there's a people that will hear the word of God and not just hear it, but do the word of God. Be wise people that not only hear it and build their house on sand, but wise people that both hear it and do it, build their house upon the sayings of Jesus Christ. When there is a people that will allow the word of God to grow in them, and then their lives begin to prevail, you'll start seeing a great disturbance in the atmosphere. That's the word of the Lord. Now, verse 24, and a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Artemis, or your Bible may say Diana, was bringing no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen of similar trades and said, men, you know that our prosperity depends upon this business. And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a considerable number of people, saying that gods made of hands are not gods at all. Now, this spirit that ruled Ephesus, Diana or Artemis, was now being manifested through Demetrius, and he was over these people. This spirit was over these people. And what we've seen, there's no small disturbance in 23. The ruler's spirit now, though, is being stirred up. He's hidden himself basically for 2 years. He hasn't manifested. He hasn't really stirred anything up. There's been no great deal for 2 years. He's allowed some casting out of devils. He's allowed some miracles. He's allowed some healings. And God will let us just keep on doing a few miracles. I mean, the devils, the principalities over this area will keep on letting us do a few miracles and doing a little preaching and doing a little healing and doing these things. And he'll keep on letting us do that. But then all of a sudden, this thing begins to shake because this church is messing with his turf. Now, what I want you to see, all of a sudden, the people begin to leave the world and start coming to the church. They start being fed the word of God, and they begin to start being overcomers. He'll let us do these things. They even burnt some books. He'll let us burn the books. He'll let us cast out devils. He'll let us do some healings and some miracles. But when people began to do the Word of God, when people began to grow in the Word of God, then we're going to find out that these principalities and powers are going to start shaking, and we're going to have some disturbances, and people are going to start raising up and coming against the works of God. Now, verse 27 is what I really want to heal here. I want you to see, because it shows that this thing is shaking. Verse 27. And not only is there danger that this trade of ours fall into dispute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana or Artemis is regarded as worthless, and that she whom all of Asia and the world worship should even be dethroned from her magnificence. What's happening to Diana? What's happening to this principality, this power, this ruler spirit? She's being dethroned because the Word of God is growing and people are prevailing. When that begins to happen, all sorts of confusion starts happening. Look at verse 29. And the city was filled with confusion. When that thing's throne begins to shake, then you're going to find out there's going to be all sorts of confusion. She's being dethroned. The King James Bible right there says she's despised and will be destroyed. I want you to know that the ruler spirit over any city can come down. I want us to understand that the purpose of the church is not to escape, but the purpose of the church is to dethrone the ruler spirits over cities. And that's why we're here. That's why this church is here. That's why every church is here. And if this one doesn't do it, there'll be another one that'll be raised up until there's one that will dethrone this principality and this power over this city. And I believe that God will raise up churches in every city, in every place, to dethrone principalities and powers. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I could quote it, but you know it's there. But now Paul, writing, he was just at Ephesus. Now he's writing this epistle to the Ephesians. He's writing the epistle back to them. And he says something, and I just want to look at it quickly. Paul writes back to them. He writes back. Now, he's been through this warfare. They have brought down this principality and power. They have made it a trophy that they could hand to the Lord Jesus Christ. They have conquered it. And now he writes back to them, and he says, finally, verse 10, Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And then here's what I want to capitalize on. For you, your struggle is not against Demetrius. Your struggle is not against those that were making these shrines. Who is the struggle? Who is their struggle against? The principalities. That ruler spirit. That demon spirit that was over that area. That's who they were struggling with. And Paul knew him, and he knew Paul. He says, your struggle is not with Demetrius. Your struggle is not with flesh and blood. Your struggle is against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, where then is our spirit? Wherein is our spiritual struggle at? It's not with the Baptist or the Methodist. We're not fighting for memberships, are we? We're not in competition. Our struggles is not with people. Our struggle is with a power and a ruler spirit that's over this area. My struggle really isn't with people that have a different spirit from me. Like we were talking, I don't struggle with those people. The Bible never tells me to struggle with those people. It just says, watch it, mark them, get away from them, avoid them. My struggle is with this ruler spirit that's over this city. Your struggle is with this ruler spirit that's over this area or wherever that you're from. That's where our struggle is at. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that when we war, we're warring with something we can't see in the natural, but we can sure see its effect. Jesus said the Spirit is like the wind. You don't know where it's coming from or where it's going, but you can sure see its effects. You can sure see this effects, the Spirit's effects on families, on our children. You can see this Spirit's effects on our neighborhood, on our leaderships in the city. You can see it, and you know it's real. And I want to just hustle on through, because I want to get to these 7 points. Now, do you believe me? Do you believe, and are you with me now, that there is a ruler spirit here and over every city? Revelation chapter 2 and 3, I want to point out what I said just a minute ago. Verse 1 of Revelation 2. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write. Not to the angels, to the churches. I really believe what I said to you a while ago is biblical. I really believe. Now, that doesn't mean that God's not moving and working, but I really believe that powers and principalities, I really believe there's going to be powerful churches in every city that'll be raised up with a specific mind to war, to bring down powers, to bring down principalities. And I really believe that's one of the primary missions for this church is because we so establish it on Matthew 16:18. It says, I'll build my church. And what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So that's the purpose of a church. To the angel at the church of Ephesus. Look at verse 8. And to the angel of the church at Smyrna write. Now, I know the word there is agalos, and I know that it means messenger, and I know that it means pastor. But I believe I've got an angel. And I believe there's an angel that guards this church. And I believe there's an angel that God has sent here to bring us revelation. What is an angel supposed to do? I think he's supposed to do specifically two things. I think this angel is supposed to do specifically two things. Number one, it brings us revelation. It brings us revelation. Just like in Daniel. Daniel wanted understanding. He prayed and the angel came. And I believe one of the primary forces of the demonic realm up here is to keep that angel from getting revelation to the churches. I believe that's the first thing that he's supposed to do, is bring revelation. The second thing, I believe he's supposed to war, because that's what the angel in Daniel did. He warred with that prince of Persia. Now, we can go through, you can look at verse 12, to the angel of the church at Pergamos. Verse 18, to the angel at the church of Thyatira, or Thyatira, however you say it. Verse chapter 3, verse 1, to the angel at the church of Sardis. Verse 7 of chapter 3, to the angel of the church at Philadelphia. And then verse 14, to the angel of the church at Laodicea. I believe, I really do, I believe that. I believe that there are churches in cities, there are a church in every city that is raised up and its purpose is to bring down principalities and powers and to war and to knock holes in that principality and power. And I believe we've done it. I believe that what God has done here is biblical. I believe that He will reveal that power and that principality to that person, to that church, that He wants to do that warfare. Now, does God assign an angel to His church? Now, what does it take then to bring down ruling spirits? The spirit that needs to come down over this area is the spirit that desires to transfer itself to you. Desires to transfer itself to your children, to your spouse. Desires to transfer itself to your grandchildren. I don't want that, folks. I just don't want the principality and the ruling spirit over this area being able to influence my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. Do you, Wilson? You want to bring him down, don't you? You want to do all that? And that's what I'm trying to say. If we'll understand that there is a ruling spirit and that we have the power to affect him, to hurt him, to cripple him, and bring him down, I really believe it'll give us more desire to go about what we're supposed to be doing. Now, I want to give us 7 things that I really believe that must be done. At least, there's at least 7, there's probably more. But there's at least 7 things that I want to bring that I think are necessary to bring down ruler spirits over areas. And the first thing, I want to write these for you, because at the end I want to pray this prayer. I want to pray. pray these seven things. Number one, we read it in Daniel and I've preached it before, so I'm not even going to turn back there. I believe it's going to take a people with a set heart. The angel told Daniel, he says, from the very first day that you set your heart, I came with the answer. From the very first day that you set your heart, or the very first day that you set your determination, I believe it's going to take a people that have a determination that nothing is going to stop us from what God has called us to do. That we will not be stopped in bringing down the power and the principality. That's the first thing that I think that is necessary. Now, I believe this, that everybody may not always be together in theology, but I believe that if we are determined that theology won't divide us, that if we love the same Jesus and we have the same Spirit, that we can stay together with a set heart and bring down this power, this principality. Now, I've seen this work. I was cutting my grass several weeks ago. I was cutting it several weeks ago now. And I really was meditating about our church and how it, over the past 4 years, what God's done here. And you see, when we came together, folks, we weren't all alike in our theology. In fact, we still may not all be alike in our theology. But we were determined. Those of us that are here now were determined that this thing was going to work, and God took care of the theology. Let me tell you something. Theology won't keep you together. Look at the denominations, churches. They're splitting right and left, and they're supposed to have the same theology. It's not theology that keeps you together. It's determination. It's a set heart. We're going to do it. First thing I think is going to be required is a people that will set their heart. God, I don't know what He's saying. I trust You change Him or change me. But I got a set heart. I'm in concrete and I'm going on. I'm going to do what You said to do. Number two, I believe it's going to take a humble attitude. That's what He said to Daniel. He says, from the first day you set your heart and humbled yourself before the Lord God, He says, I was sent with the answer. Humble attitude. What does that mean? That means that there's going to be a lot of times that you've got to lay your what you want down so that the church can be successful. A lot of times, you're going to want to go do something, go someplace else, not come to church, not praise God, not clap your hands. You might not want to do what you know you're supposed to do, and you'll answer what you want to do before you know what it's really going to take to make this thing work. Faithfulness. Humbling yourself. Letting this be first. That spirit has got to be on our minds. We got to think about it and pray against it sometimes during the day. We got to humble ourselves and knowing that when we come together, our purpose of coming together is to bring down that power and that ruling spirit over this area. We're going to take a humbling people. So from the first day that you set your heart and humbled yourself before me, faithfulness to meetings, faithfulness to giving, faithfulness in laying down what I want, faithfulness in praise and faithfulness in worship. You do know, I mean, I don't have to take time and show you. You do know that when you praise God, you're poking holes in that sucker, don't you? Third thing I think that it's got to take, and I think the Bible shows us, is prayer. From the first day that you set your heart and humbled yourself, your words were answered. I believe that without prayer, we can pack it up and go home because that thing will never come down. Believe the church that brings down the power and the principality over any area is going to have to pray. Pray. Jesus said when you pray, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. What's the next part? Pray Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done. The kingdom's not going to come without prayer. It's just not going to come. And prayer is the most thought thing in the Christian world. Folks, listen to me and hear what I say. I can get you to give $40,000 in one offering, but I can't get half of us to come on Wednesday night in prayer. We can stir you up to dance and clap your hands, but I can't get half of you to come on Wednesday night and pray. Say, I love you, Pastor. Is it right? Is it right? That's that boy got quiet. I want you to understand that, folks, you're a tithing folk to people. We tithe, we give. We've got our hearts set. I believe we're a humble. We've got a humble attitude. We put this thing first, in many ways except prayer. Well, I think that's right anyway. We can forget bringing the ruling spirit down if we are not going to pray. I believe it. I believe that thing will still be here 3,000 years from now, except the Lord return, unless we set our hearts to pray. Pardon? Oh, okay, better pray at home. All right, let's talk about that a second. Let's talk about that a second. Let's talk about it. I pray at home. In the Bible, you find there are two relationships with the Lord, an individual relationship and then the corporate relationship. You'll never find that the place was shaken when you pray alone. Talk to me now. Acts chapter 4, read it. And they were together praying. They were praying the Word of God. They were praying against the powers and the principalities. And it says the place was shaken. Peter was locked up in prison. An angel came to deliver him. The people were praying together at home, and Peter was delivered miraculously by an angel. You won't activate angels without prayer. Corporate prayer. Now, I believe you, there's prayers that we can activate angels in our own, but I'm talking about this miraculous type of thunderous answers to prayer. I really believe that it's going to take corporate prayer. You have two types, individual and corporate. We may be good at one and not good at the other, or vice versa. But I believe it, to have the proper prayer life that we're talking about here, it's going to take both, and specifically corporate prayer. People that pray together. Number four. You said that. I thought somebody back there was talking. Changed your voice on me. So who was that? I rebuke you. Number four. We've got to know that there is a ruler spirit or a strong man assigned to our city. Now, if you want to read about the strong man, you can read in Luke 11. But there is a ruler spirit. We've got to know that there really is one. And this guy just isn't sitting up there twiddling his fingers. He is trying to transfer himself on you. He's trying to transfer himself on Ben. He's trying to transfer himself on Matthew. He's trying to transfer himself on Hannah. He's trying to transfer himself on our children. He's trying to transfer himself and make us like him or it. We got to know that he's there and bring him down. And I believe, you know, that we hear these kinds of teachings, and we sit in here, and boy, that's good, and I see that in the Word, and we go out, and you know, a day or two later, hey, we forget all about this stuff. And we think it's a fairy tale or something. Because, oh, you know, this is real. This stuff is real. Look at San Francisco. And tell me there's not some demonic force there. Tell me that you can go to Las Vegas. Tell me you can go to Las Vegas and stay out there a couple of weeks and not have a spirit get on you that you want to gamble. I know you would. Folks, it's real. If you live in this city, if you live in this area long enough, you're going to find that something's going to attack your wife. You're going to find that it's going to get on you and on her and her children, and it's going to cause problems in your home. And you're going to find that if you live in this area long enough, there's a spirit that goes around trying to take rotten garbage out of one man's heart and take it over and put it in another man's heart so that they'll get bitter and fight with one another, stirring up garbage. I know those two are here. It's real. It's as real as it can be. It's a lot more real than Michelope. Now, you need to know that we got one. You got to know, and you can look at it, that in Daniel's was the prince of Persia, that Sodom had a homosexual or a sodomy spirit on it. Sodomy is the correct biblical term. Ephesus had Diana or Artemis. L.A. has a homosexual. Hollywood has a false glamour. Los Angeles has a promiscuity Las Vegas has a promiscuity, a gambling, a prostitution. It's real. It's just real. You got to know that there is one. You got to determine then what is ours. I want to read this. I believe God will reveal the ruler spirit to His angel, who will reveal it to His church in that city. It then becomes that church's enemy, and the gate of hell that church should destroy. Once it's revealed to us, and it has been, at least one ruler spirit over this area, and probably two, then it now becomes our enemy, and we're supposed to bring it down. Now, number five, time is required. What I mean by time is we can't get up tomorrow morning or in a few minutes we're going to pray and get up in the morning and expect that this thing's going to be gone. It took Daniel 21 days just to get an answer. It took Paul 2 years to stir this thing up. It took us 2 years before the Lord revealed to us something about this principality and this ruler spirit over this area. There's warfare. The angels don't want that revelation to get here. The angels want, the powers and the principalities don't want that angel to get here with that revelation. They war, just like in Daniel. We want understanding. We're praying for understanding. As long as we keep praying, the angels keep coming and the revelation keeps coming. When we stop praying, the war's over. And we just get like any other church. Time is required. These strong men have been here a long time. They're a lot older than you. They're a lot older than me. They've been here for thousands of years. And they're rooted. And they're wise. They're smart. I won't say they're wise. They're smart. And they're here. And they're entrenched. And they know the tricks. And they know how to do it. And they'll let us have some miracles. And they'll let us do some special miracles. They'll let us have some praying and some hooplas and some dancing. But folks, when there's a people that begin to grow in the Word of God and begin to prevail, that thing's going to start shaking. And it takes time to grow people in the Word of God. I'm the pastor, and I'm still growing in the Word of God. And we are growing to a point where we're going to prevail, and that thing's going to shake. And what I'm trying to say is this, folks. It would be wonderful if we bring it down in my generation. I hope we can. But we've got to have a vision and a purpose and a program that if it doesn't come down in my generation, that maybe the next generation will bring it down. And if that doesn't work, then maybe the next generation will bring it down. But we've got to understand that that thing's got to come down, and we've got to keep planning for it to come down. I believe that any church needs to have at least a vision, at least that extends beyond one generation. It's going to take time. Number six. The Word of the Lord must grow mightily and prevail. The Word must grow and prevail. I don't think I need to comment on that. I think we know what we're talking about. This people's got to grow in the Word. But that's not all. We've got to do the Word. Allow the Word to work in our life. Look with me.
Please turn the tape over to side two. Thank you.
See, if I know that I've got a box full of sermons, and it'd be very easy just to pick up and go someplace and just start over there. You know what I'm saying? But see, by my maintaining, I have got to study, I have got to pray, I have got to seek the Word of God and praying and keep the growing in the Word. You'll know in a minute if I start repeating myself. So I believe it takes verse 10 of chapter 3 of Ephesians. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to what? To the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. The rulers. There is a church. There is a people that will be raised up to reveal the wisdom of God, a prevailing wisdom, a wisdom that's not just in word but is also in actions, that will reveal that to the rulers and the powers and the principalities over this area. It will happen. That's what we're here for. To reveal the prevailing Word of God to the powers and the rulers of the air. There has got to be a Word that will grow in us and prevail. We've got to grow in the Word, and we've got to prevail in the Word. And then number seven. And then we'll pray. There will be no small disturbance. No small disturbance. What does that mean? Folks, there's going to be warfare. There's going to be warfare like we haven't been in and can't imagine. This thing does not want to come down. And the more it shakes, the more it's going to war. And the angrier it's going to get. And we've got to understand that it's not going to be a small disturbance. You need to expect war. War will intensify as the ruler spirit's throne is shaking. But will it come down? Can it come down? Do you want it to come down? Do you believe it's going to take those seven things at least to bring it down? What I want to do, I want us to stand. I want everybody to pray. We're corporately praying, but we're praying the same thing. I want you to pray all seven of these things. Father, I want to set my heart. Work into me a humble attitude that this becomes first and primary. Father, I want to pray. I want to corporately pray. I want to pray alone. I want to have both kinds. No, Father, I want to know that there is a ruler spirit, and I want that worked into me. I want to know it every day. I want to be reminded of it every day. I want to pray against it every day. Know that there's a time required and that you'll prevail and you'll persevere through this time that's required and that we'll have a vision and a purpose and a plan for the generations to come. On that one. Okay, we bring it. We heard it. And I believe we've heard it. I really do. I believe that we've heard that thing. Okay, so we quit. We back off. Is it going to get its strength back? Is it coming back again? See, we've got to understand that not just this generation, but generations after this must continue on to bring that sucker down. Now, the Word must grow and prevail. That's why I have us to pray. You pray for me on Sunday mornings and put your hand on your heart or your ears or something so that the Word of God can prevail here and we'll grow in it and we'll change. And then number seven, understand that this is war, folks. That thing wants your children. He wants your children, doesn't he, Randy? He wants your wives. He wants your husbands. He wants to influence them. He wants to transfer itself upon them and make us like him. It's war. It's war sometimes to come against these things. There's no small disturbance when this thing starts coming down. Want us to pray? We're going to pray these seven things. Don't pray with me. In fact, I'm going to turn off. Just go ahead and cut me off.